Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled The Olivet Discourse. This is chapter 77 of my Discipleship Foundation series. Thank you for joining me. Any study of end time prophecy should properly begin with the words of our Lord, and specifically the Olivet Discourse, when he answered three specific questions posed by his disciples. Near the end of his time on earth, he visited Jerusalem and prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. His disciples were astonished and asked him a three-part question, which is recorded in Matthew 24:3, which I'll read now. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" That's from the New American Standard Bible. The three-part question is as follows. Number one, when will these things happen? And that would refer to the destruction of the temple. Number two, when will be the sign of your coming? And number three, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Their question indicates that the disciples thought that the destruction of the temple and the end of the age must be close together. Jesus' answer can be interpreted in various ways, allowing for differences in opinion regarding the way the end-time scenario will play out. Most people are probably familiar with the dispensational view, so I will cover the partial preterist understanding, the one I think is most plausible. Question 1. When will the temple be destroyed? The temple was central to Jewish religious life. It was incomprehensible that it would be destroyed. And as yet, the disciples did not understand why it should be. Jesus was about to die for our sins as God's Lamb to fulfill the old covenant sacrifices that it foreshadowed. After his death and resurrection, the old covenant would be replaced, and its sacrifices would no longer be required or needed, since the true Lamb fulfilled their meaning. Hebrews 8:13 says this, "When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear." That's the New Living Translation. In addition to the temple losing its significance, the Jews were soon to reject and murder their Messiah, something God the Father would punish severely. Jesus warned them about what was coming. And I've got a couple of scriptures here. The first one is Luke 11, verses 50 to 51, which says, "As a result, this generation will be held responsible for the murder of all God's prophets from the creation of the world, from the murder of Abel to the murder of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, it will certainly be charged against this generation." And the second verse is Luke 19:27, where Jesus said, "And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in front of me." Both of these were from the New Living Translation. Imagine the magnitude of the crime of killing the promised Messiah and the wrath of God that would follow, which came about a generation afterward in 70 AD. Jesus foresaw what was coming and wept as recorded in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39, which say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. New Living Translation. Those children would be the adults that would experience the horrors of the Roman siege and destruction of Jerusalem. Within a generation, 40 years, from Jesus' prophecy, the Roman army under General Titus besieged and starved the city of Jerusalem for 4 months before entering it, killing its inhabitants and burning the temple. Josephus recorded that 97,000 Jews were led away into captivity. In AD 135, one last rebellion against Rome was attempted. After 3 years, the Romans quashed it, killing an additional 580,000 Jews, and disassembled every stone of the temple, plowing up the ground just as Jesus prophesied. Matthew 24, 1 through 2 says, And as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings, but he responded, Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left atop of another. New Living Translation. But after this, Jesus adjourned to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, from which they could observe the temple. It was at this time that they asked for more details regarding what Jesus uttered on the temple grounds. Jesus answered all their questions, but did so rather seamlessly, leaving it up to us to parse the meaning. The partial preterist point of view is that most end-time prophecies have already been fulfilled over the last 2,000 years. In the following verse, Jesus declared that everything he said prior to this would take place in a generation about 40 years, which was the time between his words and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And this is Matthew 24, 34. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. New Living Translation. Therefore, everything before this pertains to this event. Since I'm not able to cover every detail in this lesson, I will refer you to the book Victorious Eschatology by Eberle and Trench if you want to pursue further study. To summarize, many false messiahs arose in Israel following our Lord's death and resurrection. Wars, famines, and earthquakes took place all over the Roman Empire. Persecutions were instigated by the Jews and Romans in the intervening period too. Apostasy and false prophets in the form of Judaizers and Gnostics swept many away from the truth of the gospel. According to Scripture, the gospel was also preached to the whole world. Two verses, Romans 16, 25 and 26, and Colossians 1, 23. The abomination of desolation was the Roman army. Matthew 24, 15 and 16 says, Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. New American Standard Bible. The holy place was not the temple, but the land of Israel. This is illustrated by a parallel passage, which is found in Luke 21, verses 20 through 22, which reads, But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. Because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. New American Standard Bible. The corresponding reference in Daniel that speaks of desolation coming refers to the people of the prince, meaning the Roman army. Daniel 9:26 says, "Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and his sin will come with the flood, even to the end. There will be war. Desolations are determined." New American Standard Bible. The Great Tribulation refers to the destruction of Jerusalem and everything that accompanied it. Hello, Brother Bob. Thank you. Same to you. Yeah, other people are getting excited too. They're starting to rebuke me.
I was wondering if everybody was like me. I mean, I'm not, you
No,
know, don't get me
no.
wrong. I know that I'm like, you could tell me a lot of things and get away with it, and I
Yeah.
would talk. But what you're talking about, those things for such a long time.
Really?
My dad used to sit and talk about these things.
Oh my goodness.
And we were very skeptical of all of the stuff, the
Yeah.
space.
Wow.
No idea that deep.
Widespread and deep, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Huge.
It is. It's you think about the Reformation took place about the same time as the Copernican Revolution.
Yeah. I didn't talk about that last article, the Copernican Revolution. It took me a minute to figure out how to slide the
Yeah.
articles.
Good
Yeah,
morning,
I'm so
Lynn.
glad that you're digging into that feed. I really am. It really does. It stirs up. I miss my dad when I start reading those things. He's
Yeah.
the first person that comes to mind, and I just wish I could call. Here it is, you know, but yeah, can't call. So,
Yeah. Morning, Lynn.
Tom,
Morning,
what are
Tom.
you calling?
I'm good.
That's a shadow on my face. Look like a raccoon. I like that, actually. Oh, we've joined together. Okay,
Does that
hey,
mean
Tom.
you were up late last night or something?
I think it does. But I got four here, which is great. Paulo and then the Rose and my kids. And so they're, I'm going to
Nice.
go in there and time with them before I head off to work. But
Nice.
wanted
Yeah,
to.
good
How's everyone
morning to you
doing?
too. Now we're doing
Very
good,
much.
thank you.
Beautiful day here in the neighborhood, it looks like.
Yes,
Yeah,
sir.
exactly.
I went out
Yeah, it's
walking
coming.
at 6 and it was just great. Wow.
Yeah, I've
Yeah.
got a lot of grass to cut today, I'm telling you.
Really? Our grass is not growing much here. It hasn't rained in quite a while.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
brown,
About
getting
3 weeks
brown.
or more. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's browning out right now, so that's unfortunate. But
Yeah.
evidently in June, somebody stops paying the water bill and they cut off the water upstairs.
Isn't that
Oh yeah.
interesting? Yeah, everybody's
Everything's
garden
frozen.
is coming up and they need the water.
Across the street they got some corn coming up. It looks like they were kind of late on planting corn. I don't quite understand that, but yeah, I thought that's going to be kind of tough going. There'll be some rough corn. They might just be growing it for the cows. I don't know, but we'll
Across the
see.
street. Oh, yeah. You're called across
Big fields.
62.
Yeah,
Yeah,
way across
yeah.
62.
Those are the
They used to
ones.
always have.
Yeah. Yeah, they
Yeah,
grow it
but
and
yeah, it's
sell
one of.
it too, right? On the
Yeah, they were
corner.
trying to sell it, but then the land wouldn't perk, so.
Oh.
They ran into some issues there with getting water from the city and things
Really?
like that. So,
Huh.
yes, eventually somebody's going to overcome that, put a big community there, I'm sure, which will just add to the
Oh.
congestion.
Oh yeah, that'll make it great coming out of the main entrance there.
Yeah, well,
Oh
they got a
gosh.
plan for a bypass that would go out
Really?
and that would bypass the Alamance Bridge, build a new one. But just, can you imagine the cost of building those these days? Trying to build a bridge
Yeah.
across that.
Yeah, I was thinking that it would be terrible to live on that main road in Alamance Village. You'd just have a constant flow of
Constant
traffic.
worry.
I don't, it probably stops maybe at 10 o'clock or something.
I think so, but at least everybody's moving pretty slow through there for the most part. Anyway, if I can just throw out some prayer requests, obviously our nation.
Right.
Is dire straits on all fronts in many ways. And there's some good things happening in our country, but there's some really big bad things that are still brewing.
Yep.
So we want to pray for God's grace.
Yep.
And then I've got a big meeting next week on the Thursday, the 27th, with Peggy Britt's attorney and some of the other leadership, and we're just going to be discussing training motivation and what needs to be done. Whether we're going to keep me there or release me or what. So that'll be a big one. So
absolutely.
I want to pray for wisdom is the main thing there. And let's see, anybody on our injury list?
Well, Linda Zimmerman, she's, been fighting cancer for a while. And the chemo's not working, but they're believing God still for a miracle. So we can join our faith with that.
Absolutely.
Is she one of the neighbors, Pete?
No, she's, we knew them back from Maranatha Church years ago. They live in Greensboro. Okay. Mike Zimmerman still does have a carpet cleaning business. Good man.
Yeah, talked to him for a long time. So yeah, let's see that. I want to put Clifton over.
Okay.
Clark
Oliver.
Yeah, I think that's his last name. I talked with Cliff again yesterday, and he was mentioning that the cancer is still out of control in his body. So
okay.
He needs a miracle.
Yep.
If he's going to remain on this planet. Blessings on him. His sister's not doing great. She's 70 something now.
Hmm.
She's 72 now, but she's struggling on multiple fronts.
Hmm.
She's kind of the matriarch at this point for the family.
Do you remember her name?
Angela. And I don't know what her last name is.
Right.
I don't think that it's Oler. But,
yeah. Yeah.
Pray for Cliff. And, he still has, and high in spirits. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
We know how it is when he goes into one of the slumps. That's never good. But right now, he seems to still be holding his own. So that's good. And I'm sure there's other things, but I want to jump off the call, chase down some grandkids. Help them get their breakfast before I head off to work. But God bless y'all. Love y'all.
Same to you. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye-bye. Thanks for your prayers.
Good morning, Anton.
Cobwebs out.
Good morning. He's awake, or I can't see him, but.
Yeah, he's awake.
Yep, I'm awake.
The gift of sleeping, something I wish I had more of. So, Anton, what's on your prayer list today?
Well, with her on and off throughout the years, cancer recurrent. Her, he's in Graham, actually, and her husband also works for a company, and he talked to me yesterday, so I'd like to pray for her, Kathy.
Okay.
Go to chemo and radiation.
All right.
Pray for different people groups that are represented in Burlington and Elements County.
Okay. And you're thinking of the Karen people and who else?
Hispanics.
Right.
Whoever.
Right.
Whoever I hear.
Yep. Yep. I saw a guy yesterday. I've seen him many times, but I greeted him and tried to engage him in conversation. He looks like he might be one of those Karens. He's real short.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks, like he's from Southeast Asia. And I asked him, how far do you run? And he just said, yes. So I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how to engage him any further than that. Yeah. Where's Brian Presson when you need him, right?
Yeah. It sounds like they're really doing well, actually, when I talk to Brian.
Yeah, well, good. Good. Wow. How about you, Lynn?
Well, we need to be praying for Leah.
Okay.
Her car broke down the other day.
Okay.
The fuse box melted. Figure that out.
That's the Ford?
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time I've ever heard.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything. That's weird.
Fuse box melting.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a factory defect. How could that happen?
You went off to crank it the other day. And the radio would play, the horn would blow, but the engine wouldn't start. I thought, okay, that's could be a couple of three different things. But anyway, when she had it towed over to Garden Automotive, that's what they discovered, that the fuse box was melted. They couldn't do anything about it because it was a factory issue. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all that is sparking is that she's just making ends meet right now financially.
Yeah.
And so she's got a roommate that's going to be leaving here soon. When she leaves, that could be really a tight thing for her.
Right.
Financially speaking. So we need to pray that the Lord provide her a new roommate pretty quickly. And then the wisdom about what to do about the vehicle. She is looking to get her certification. If she gets certified, that'll be a, I don't know how much of a boost it'll be. I don't know if it'll be a significant boost in pay or what, but that'll be a big one.
Yeah.
If she's looking to September, it goes through December.
Okay.
So we need to
pray. What kind of certification, Lynn?
It's a pharmacy tech. Bye, honey.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so if she gets that, she'll get a and pay. But she doesn't seem to be out of rest about it right now, which is good.
Good.
We just need to believe God with her and provision in that way.
I guess one safety net would be moving in with you, Lord. Will, you know, if everything got bad enough.
Please, we'd have to make some big adjustments if she did that again. That's, I mean, if worse comes to worse, of course.
Yeah. Well, she's an unmarried daughter, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of its own category, I think.
Yeah. So we'll cross that bridge if we come to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I understand. You get used to the empty nest.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just there'd be a lot of logistical things we'd have to do.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. And she really doesn't want to lose her house.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she. I'm sure she loves her independence.
Yeah, excuse me. So, anyway, that's... We've been down this road before.
Right.
Faithful providing for her, such. So, but anyway, I need to pray for her.
Maybe she can move in with Ben.
But she's actually talked about Ben going out. It's, you know, they'll be looking for land that she thought, well, he could buy 10 acres of land. He could rent her an acre and she could move on to the property.
Reminds me of an old saying that God has a plan. No, see, God loves you and everyone else has a plan for your life.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But I want to, we haven't gone over, we need to go touch base with our neighbors again in planning this supper for them. You know, just a welcome to the community meal.
Absolutely.
I want to pray for them. Just getting that set up, but also that they'd be, and everybody's already said that they'll come. So that's,
wow.
We just gotta find a mutual date.
Yeah. How exciting.
Yeah. Something got my throat tickled. I do have my second cataract surgery coming up this week.
Okay.
I went for the another follow-up the other day on it. Went to my regular eye doctor. He said the cataract is the it's healing well, is what he said.
Good.
So, and it's funny because the paperwork did say that the vision improves day to day, and it is. Whenever I put my glasses back on, it gets blurry. Yeah. So it's just, I don't, that's why I don't have them on now. It's easier for me to see with just fuzzy eye than it is for me to put the glasses on and get through the So it's coming along.
That's good.
For that, thankful for that.
How about you, Mr. Clare?
Praising the Lord more than anything. We don't have a lot of need. I mean, we have. If you want to look at life as a train wreck, you certainly could. I could point out millions of things that are not right. But the Lord has been real faithful and true, and I'm just so blessed to be a part of His family. Back to the basics. Lord, you called me darkness, and you have kept me, just like your word says, you have kept me in your hand, and I have not made that easy. I have not.
You've not made it easy for you to stay in His hand?
No. I've scored quite a bit.
You didn't realize you were Velcroed in, though, did you?
No, yeah.
So we need to play for your mom's estate, right?
Yeah, that mess is still a mess. I've got some paperwork sitting on my desk that I've got some people.
Okay.
I don't expect all going to come of any of it. Which is fine with me. Again, the Lord's been faithful and true all these years. We would have moved to Carolina is what would have happened if everything would have gone the way I thought it was. But I had other plans, and so that worked.
All right. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I would like to lift up the people always lift up. Neighbors, friends that we've been praying for. So when I put down neighbors under Lynn's request, so that'll include the ones we know and family members. Anything else, anybody? So where are you right now, Anton?
Yeah, I'm still. Okay. I was going to say, actually, I was to pray Sunday.
Okay.
Not my favorite city.
But, no. You're headed to New Orleans.
Returning Wednesday.
Goodness. Wow.
Sticky humid New Orleans.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never been there.
No, I have not either. I have not been down there. That's
I've been once.
That's enough.
I think it's not worth the business.
So this is business, right? Anton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right. Very good. Well, of course, our children goes without saying. So we got Mercy Ann's wedding coming up. We got Ben and Victoria's new situation. Leah's already been mentioned. Nate's desire for a wife. And
sick just, right now, too.
Okay, and healing for him, and David, of course, and Zach Cox, Shonda. Yeah. So I guess we could go ahead and get started unless somebody has something else.
How has Sheila been doing, man? Is your shoulder?
She's doing better. She's out walking with her neighbor Janice right now.
Yeah, we want to lift up Janice, don't we? And all the unchurched people that are drifting out there.
Bless your name. Praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I just thank you so much that we have the privilege of coming into your presence. Oh, glory to God. Lord, what a privilege it is that you have opened the door through your Son Jesus, death and resurrection. Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Help us to pray today according to your will. Help us to experience your presence, your peace, your joy, your love. Let us be filled with faith, hope. Lord, I pray that you would lead us to pray according to your will. Alami kombora di bram borakara morake kibihibeshet on the lehibanda la morianda karabarakanda de heta no moshi. Ombre hitom balahi kombala la moreki kombara de branda lehibratoshi natando hikandala hitai. Ombre hitom bala yono ombale itom bale ete imohoshande hibanda harakete. Ombra tore ki kandare hi pandara pitandara rumor rambo pishe.
Lord, your word says, behold what manner of love the Father has given us.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, that we might be called the sons of God. We praise you, Lord, that you have given us a new identity. Lord, that you've given us a new name, as where you made us new creatures in Christ. Lord, part of a huge family.
Yes.
Lord, I just remind you from your eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the energy of the heart of man, the things you've prepared for us, Lord. And Lord, I know with all that's going on around us, Lord, it's good to know that we have hope.
That's right. That's
That our hope is in Jesus, the blessed hope. And Father, that we're not alone in this world. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in our hearts. Presence that's represented through your body, and it's so encouraging, Lord, to know that there is this huge family that we call the body of Christ, Lord, that we share a common bond because of Jesus, and Lord, that we're a part of a family that knows how to encourage one another. I thank you, body. I pray, oh God, you help us as your people to be faithful to you in all things. Lord, with all that's going on around us, it's easy. It's easy to succumb to the pressures of life and to the fears that the enemy throws at us through what because of all that is going on around us. But thank you, Lord, for your presence in us and again in each other. And Lord, we can find encouragement from your word, encouragement from each other, and Lord, to know that one day, Lord, we will all be assembled around that large table, as it were, Lord, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will, for all eternity, Lord, your presence and being in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness to us and the way that you guide us and lead us We praise you for that. We do pray for our family members, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
All of us were assembled this morning. We all have members in our families that are not saved.
Right.
And Lord, my prayer will is and will continue to be that you will give these loved ones a heart for you.
Yes.
That you would cause them, Lord, to think about eternity and to think about the one who died and rose again so that we could have eternal life. I pray on God that you'll move in our family members. God, that you would bring salvation to all of them, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, and I pray you'll give us grace in knowing how to interact with our family members that are not walking with you. And Lord, that we would be an example of your love, your mercy, your kindness to them, Lord. I pray that our family members would not see us as religious bigots, but Lord, that they would see us as vessels for the kingdom of God, that they would see us as people who walk in truth, or at least seek to walk in truth anyway, Lord. We know we're not perfect. We know that we make mistakes. But Lord, that our family members would realize that they would see and perceive the joy, the confidence, the assurance, the peace that we have in Jesus, Lord. Because I know this, Lord, that's the one thing that a lot of people are looking for, Lord, is peace. Right. And we know, Lord, that ultimately the only peace that's going to be genuine in Israel is in you, Lord, the Prince of Peace. So I pray for our family members, oh God, that they would come to experience and have a radical encounter with you, the living God. And Lord, that they would be born again. And so we pray to that end for them this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord God.
Lord, I pray for those of us, believers who were walking the fence, or trying to anyway. Your word tells us that you would rather us to be hot or cold. But because we're lukewarm, Lord, as you spoke to the Ephesian church, Lord, that you'd spew them out of your mouth, Lord, we pray that you would move believers off of the fence so that they would be, they'd become hot and fired up for you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray for increased confidence in your people, Lord, that they would know without any shadow of doubt, Lord, that your word is true. And Lord, that you can be trusted for all things in Jesus' name.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray you give us favor in our neighborhoods. Give us favor with our neighbors, Lord. Show us how we can interact with our neighbors at this time, Lord, that we can build friendships with our neighbors, Lord, and look for those opportunities to introduce the gospel into their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Yes, Lord. Lord, I particularly lift up ones that we can name by name. Charlie and Linda Hughes. Sal and Deanna. Diane Spazio. Wayne and Mary Feimster. Pete and Cliff and Christy Reynolds. And their children, Orion and Ben. Oh, Lord God, pray for these people, the Casadas, Gary Simpson. Oh, Lord God, we just pray Katie and John Jeffrey on. We're asking you, Lord, that you would pull back the veil from their eyes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to do that in general. We ask you, Lord, that you would pull back the shroud of deception that covers so much of the earth. The enemy has done such a masterful job in deceiving the nations. Oh, God, and your truth is down in your Bible and your Holy Spirit. Lord, yes. I pray that we would be lovers of truth, that you would protect us from error. Oh, God, that you'd help us to walk humbly with you and yet courageously. Oh, God. Ora malala morakashila bondele kondeleboriatele. Lift up our children, Lord God, that don't seem to be walking the way that we would hope they would. Shonda and David and Zach in particular. Lord, we pray for them that you would continue to work in their lives to draw them back to the straight and narrow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up Leona's estate that hangs like a weight around Bob's neck. Lord, I pray that you would remove that weight, that you would cause it to be quickly resolved in a just and equitable way, and in a way that would bring honor to you and peace within the family. Yeah. Just pray that you would just give the attorney and whoever else is working on this good insight on how to resolve this as quickly as possible. We pray this in Jesus' name.
I just want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness this morning. All of our, and we don't have to fall. To find those things, Lord. And we pray you're still dead, you know, Lord. But this morning, trying to put together ideas of those in need, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by your faithfulness, your love, your word, Lord. I'm just so grateful, Lord, for what you've done. What you're doing in me, in this home, in my even those like Shonda who have left home and seem to have no intention of having anything to do with home anymore, Lord. But even so, I know you're working those things out in your time, in your way, and. But I'm just so grateful to have such confidence and hope, as Len mentioned, that you are absolutely true. You are absolutely faithful. Your word is true. Your word is faithful, Lord, and being a part of your family is the greatest gift that I've ever received, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you remind me frequently not to get too haughty about it, not to think lightly of it, but Lord, you give me a sense of realization of the depth and power behind all of that, Lord, and why you would call someone like me into your family. I baffle about many times, but Lord, I know that you know that my love for you is true, and always we walked together, even when I was a kid by myself. Most of the time you were always with me, and you remind me of those days many times. And I'm so grateful, Lord. I'm so grateful for your call. I'm so grateful for your place in my home, in our homes, Lord. Because I'm not the only one that you've done this to. All those you have called in a special way, but we all have very similar understandings and explanations for how we've come to know you and walk with you. So, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your greatness. You are the greatest. There's no one greater. There's nothing greater, Lord, than you. And I'm just so grateful that you would take the time to consider someone like me. Lord, I truly am yours to do with as you please, Lord. And I wait and listen for your orders throughout the day, every day. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your calling in my life, in our lives, Lord, would be truly a blessing to you, your kingdom, and we would bring glory and honor to you, your name, in every way, through every word and every thought that we have. And I lift up the nation of Israel this morning, Lord. I know that my life looks like a train wreck in many ways, but I'll tell you what's going on over there is the definition of train wreck. I don't know what Israel is going to do about what's going on over there, but I pray for wisdom, Lord. I pray for great wisdom for the leaders and the people that are calling the shots over there, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just bring to them a clear vision, and that you begin to work that vision out, Lord, in Israel and in the world as a whole is in dire need in many, many ways, Lord. So we stand with Israel this morning. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom to prevail, Lord, for your direction to be the direction that Israel follows. Lord, I also want to lift up Tom this morning, who's got the grandkids, which is a wonderful thing, but it's also a handful. So, Lord, we just pray that handful would be just a blessing to Tom, Sherry. And he's got a meeting coming up on the 27th. I'm not exactly sure what that have a serious impact on what's going on in Tom's world. So I pray, Lord, for, again, wisdom, and just that truth would prevail, and that Tom would be mindful of what you would have him to do, or what is going on. Lord, we just give it to you and pray, Lord, that your will be done concerning this meeting with Tom on the 27th.
Yes, Lord.
I guess the last thing that I'd like to pray for, Lord, is that Anton's going to New Orleans. My goodness, what a, this man, I'm telling you, I had no idea that he was so courageous, because I'd be very skeptical about God. But Lord, I just pray that Anton's trip to New Orleans would be a blessing to him, a blessing to his family, and that everything that he is going there to accomplish is accomplished. With great ease and is satisfactory to everybody involved. Again, for your glory, for your honor, for your kingdom, I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we lift up Linda Zimmerman to you.
Amen.
You see the struggle that she's dealing with, Lord, with the cancer, the treatment that she's receiving. Father, I pray that whatever is necessary for her healing, Lord, that you would bring that about. I don't know how far down the road she is in life, Lord, but I pray you would give her grace right now at whatever age she's in, or whatever age she is. And Lord, pray that you would encourage her. Lord, that you would grant her your peace. Lord, that you'd help her to keep her focus on you at this time, Lord.
Yes.
That she would, that in doing so, Lord, that she would be at rest. We pray for that.
Yes.
We pray that you'd cause her heart to be at rest.
Yes, Lord.
Her husband, too, I know, Lord, it would be difficult for me to see Sheila going through something like this. And we would all be sad. Our wives would be experiencing it. So I know her husband's got to be feeling it. So I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, for him, Mr. Zimmerman, that you encourage his heart. And that you would give them the grace that they need to deal with this at the time. We do pray for deliverance and healing, total healing for the Lord, that you would encourage her heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Who else to pray for my colleague? David, who has cancer, came back. Lord, I just pray, Father, that this whole journey, Father, brings him closer to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray in miraculous way. Father, for your encouragement and you to speak to their heart, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for your healing, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. We lift up the Ower family, Cliff, who's battled whatever it is that he has. They call it schizophrenia. Lord, he's remained faithful to you through the years of suffering. Lord, we continue to ask you for his complete healing and restoration, physically and mentally, in every way. We pray for his brother, Clark, who has cancer. We rebuke that cancer in Jesus' name. And his sister, Angela, who's got some kind of health issues going on as well. We just pray for this entire family. We speak blessings over it in Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you for my daughter. And for all the things you brought her through. I thank you for your faithfulness to her and helping her. I thank you, Lord, that we've seen her through the years.
Yep.
Here she's got another opportunity, another faith opportunity. Lord, I pray, God, that you would increase her faith, that you would encourage her. We do pray, Lord, that in your timing, that you would provide her with a roommate.
Yep.
A roommate who would become a genuine friend for her.
Yep.
Someone that she could actually have fellowship with, have conversations with, Lord. I pray for just the right one. Lord, thank you, Father, for meeting her financial needs.
Yep.
We will give her the grace that she's going to need for returning to study, learning all the what's required to receive her certification. So we'll just prepare her for that. And thank you for meeting her needs. Give us wisdom about this vehicle, Lord, what we need to do with it. So, thank you, Lord, for providing your heart. Thank you for encouraging her in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
So we thank you for the different people groups that are in this place, Lord. Arabs, Hispanics, Lord, and Asians, Lord, Americans. And Lord, we just pray. We thank you that nothing happens, Father, without a plan and a purpose. And Father, that you reveal your purpose, Lord.
Yeah.
For all the people that you've brought into this place, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, you give us keys, Lord, to those people groups.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for work of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to move among us, Lord.
Right. Jesus. Yes, Lord. We pray for arms of grace.
Lord, I pray for us. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes,
Lord.
And Lord, any walls, Father, between our different cultures, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes, Lord. So we do continue to lift up arms of grace in the ministry there, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for using this ministry to encourage young moms for preserving the lives of children, Lord, for looking for ways to encourage dads. So we do pray, Lord, that you would guide Sarah and the leaders to the new facility that you've already got prepared for them, Lord. Thank you for opening that door. Thank you for meeting their financial needs. Thank you for giving them more favor and influence here in the county. And Lord, we pray that you would bring more people alongside to help, because I know, Lord, the more and more people find out about it and choose to come there, the more help they're going to need. So just thank you, Lord, for having your hand on Sarah and the ministry. I also pray for Kelly Stutz again, Lord God, connect for faith. Lord, the role that they're playing here now in this county to help stop human trafficking. Continue to pray for guidance for Kelly and for Lord that you would bring others alongside to help out. Pray for the financial needs there, oh God, and that you would provide the monies needed. And we do pray, Lord, that you would that there would be many victims rescued. Lord, I don't know how. I know, Lord, that it's a big thing. And it's going on right under our noses. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would bring an end to this. And it may not be until you return that it comes. But that means we just pray for your return quicker, I guess. Yeah. But anyway, we just pray that you would bless Kelly and the ministry. And thank you, Lord, for using not only her. We know, Lord, that there are other people throughout the U.S. and around the world that are seeking this, to bring an end to this travesty, oh God. So we pray that you would help these organizations to rescue these victims of human trafficking in Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord.
As we're praying for all these organizations, Lord, that are trying to bring sanity to an upside down world, but I just like once again life net to you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that life net continues to be a light shining in the darkness, Lord. I pray for those people that are in need of a life net. Would find the leader in such a way that would open opportunity. I also looked at Anton and Marie, kind of at the helm of the ship right now, and pray, Lord, that you give them great wisdom, strength, Lord. doing all that needs to be done, Mark. A life of glory and honor in every way. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
What have we left out?
My brother Len's got some eye surgery coming up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lord, I pray for great wisdom in working on his eye. My goodness, his eye. Oh,
yes,
Lord.
Right.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, that there is another victory on his body. That it sounds as though first surgery is doing well. In fact, maybe even better than I hoped for. We pray that the next surgery would be at least as good, if not better. So we put this for great wisdom, security, safety, and an outstanding outcome above all things. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Find out yesterday, neurosurgeon. I do have a little bit of a bulging disc between my L3 and L4.
Okay.
That's mid back. So wow. I'm not surprised by that because I know that something's been going on for a long, long time. But that's what it is. It's not anything that requires any attention right now. It's just, so,
wow.
All these years. So it hasn't bothered me much more than it is now. 3 years. There's no going in and doing anything right now, he said. So we're good in that respect. Oh, excuse me. Let's see who else we have to pray. What I've got prayer for. Looks like we've covered everything, Pete.
All right. Anton, any last words?
No, I pray that great work one of us today.
Yeah. Well, would you bless us on our way, Anton?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, Lord, and to seek your face, hear your voice, and intercede on behalf of people, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for today, Father, as we go about our day. Father, your favor, your grace, you pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation on each one of us, Father. Teach you in your word, and we hear your word, Father, let it be a revelation, Father, to our heart today.
Thank
Lord,
you.
And to our wives.
That's
in the
right.
name of Jesus.
Yep.
Lord, and we pray, Father, that you just lead us and guide us, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless all of you guys. Have a great day.
I appreciate you.
All right. Same to you. Bye-bye. Other times of tribulation were greater in magnitude regarding numbers, but what happened in 70 AD was intense. A greater percentage of the Jews were killed and greater atrocities were committed. The Jews trapped in the city were starved and resorted to cannibalism. If any escaped the city to look for food, the Roman soldiers cut off their hands and sent them back into the city. When the Romans entered the city, over 500 men per day were tortured and crucified. They were nailed to crosses in front of the city until there was no more space. Once the city was completely conquered, 97,000 survivors were enslaved or sent to be executed in the Roman theaters. When the temple was destroyed, it ended the old Jewish religious system. If the partial preterist interpretation is correct, the temple will never be rebuilt, and the Great Tribulation and many other things associated with the very end have already taken place. The Lord can return at any moment. What would be the sign of your coming? This is the second question. The disciples who listened to Jesus were not convinced that he was going to die, much less come back again on the last day. Their question would have been understood to ask when he would come into his kingdom. Matthew 24:30 says, "These are the words of Jesus, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky." New American Standard Bible. My understanding is that Jesus came into his kingdom when he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, where we are seated with him, making us co-rulers of a sort when we exercise our authority in Christ, even though not in the same fullness as we will later enjoy. Hebrews 10, verses 12 through 13 reads, "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet." New Living Translation. And then in Ephesians 2, 6, "For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Also, New Living Translation. This is why I believe that the millennial reign of Christ is being realized now. The Great Awakening theologian Jonathan Edwards wrote the following, quote, "'Tis evident that when Christ speaks of his coming, his being revealed, his coming in his kingdom, or his kingdom coming, he has respect to the appearing of those great works of the power, justice, and grace, which should be in the destruction of Jerusalem and other extraordinary providences which should attend it." This interpretation may seem odd to those who have only been exposed to the futurist interpretation, but it was predominant among earlier saints. Just as the outpouring of the Spirit was a sign of Jesus' enthronement in heaven after his ascension, the destruction of Jerusalem was another sign of his coming into his kingdom, in which the church would include both Jew and Gentile in one new man. Acts 2:32 through 33 says, This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. New American Standard Bible. God's judgment of Jerusalem and destruction of the temple was a sign or proof that Jesus ruled over all things, and God the Father brought justice upon those who murdered his Son, just as Jesus said would happen. Now, let us return to the previous verse, Matthew 24:29. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The partial preterist position interprets this as apocalyptic language. This would understand Jesus to have said that after the destruction of Jerusalem, governing authorities and political powers would be shaken and authority transferred to Christ. The heavens were shaken because Jesus came into his kingdom. 1 Peter 3:22 says, "Now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. They had been subjected to him." New Living Translation. What Daniel saw in chapter 7 of his book of prophecies was Jesus coming into his kingdom after his ascension into heaven. This passage is quoted in part by Jesus in his Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24:30, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." New American Standard Bible. Great mourning took place among all Jewish tribes when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, which was a declaration of Jesus' lordship for all who had eyes to see by faith and revelation. This is not when Jesus returns to earth at the second coming. It is apocalyptic language for Jesus' installation as king. Daniel 7:13-14 reads, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." New American Standard Bible. Jesus' coming was not to earth, but he came before the Ancient of Days to receive his kingdom. Afterward, the angels began gathering the elect from every corner of the earth through the preaching of the gospel. According to Matthew 24:31, it says, "He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." New American Standard Bible. The church began a time of vigorous growth after the fall of Jerusalem. And then Matthew 24:32-34 says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that the time is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." NASB. The fig tree is not used to signify Israel. The olive tree is used for that. Jesus said that when the signs he mentioned take place, the judgment of Jerusalem is imminent and will take place before the passing of a generation. Third question. What will be the sign of the end of the age? The answer to this question moves us to the quote, end times, end of quote. Matthew 24:35-36 records Jesus saying, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." NASB. Terms like, quote, that day and hour, the last day, the great day, and sometimes the day, refer to the second coming of Christ and the last judgment. This is the focus of our Lord's third answer, which is contained in the remainder of the chapter. Unlike the looming judgment over Jerusalem, which had clear warning signs, the second coming of Christ will come after a long time without warning at an unpredictable time. This surprise element is found in Jesus' following parables about the very end. First is Matthew 24:43-44, where he said, "Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will." NASB. Not only will the coming be unpredictable, but it will also be at a time when we think it will not be. Therefore, we must always be ready. Matthew 25:19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. NASB. In the parable of the talents, as in the others, the concept of there being a long time before our Lord returns is emphasized. Nevertheless, when he does come, it will be a surprise and readiness will be rewarded. Matthew 25:31-32. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. NASB. In the parable of the sheep and goats, we see that his second coming will include a judgment of all people, not merely Jerusalem and the temple. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.